Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
You're listening to the man who has received so much recognition for his work on behalf of small business that he had to get a bigger mantle for his awards and a wider door for his head.
You have reached the transmitting signal for the big giant head. All big giant circuits are busy right now. Please stay on the line.
Mr. Humble, Jim Blasingame.
Welcome back. 34 after the hour. Thank you for staying with me. My pleasure. As always, very excited about having our good friend Jim Copeland back on the show. Jim's director of the Center for Legal Policy at the Manhattan Institute, and he's been a member of our Brain Trust now for a long time, about 8 or 9 years, and he's here with some interesting information that you probably don't know about. Jim Copeland, welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me, Jim.
It's good to have you back. Hey, Jim, over the years, the 15,000 or so corporate public policy, I'm sorry, publicly traded corporations, for many, many years, they pretty much did what they wanted to do. There were some few proxy battles here and there, but basically the boards did what they wanted to do, and the executives, you know, kind of ran their companies. They really, most of the 20th century, things were pretty antagonistic in terms of any kind of significant influence by the shareholders. Would that be a fair assessment?
I think that's a fairer assessment than people realize. Under the traditional law, you basically have managers and boards setting corporate policy, and shareholders have some limited rights. Now, shareholders do need some rights, and it's important to realize that unlike debt holders or unlike employees or customers or suppliers, if you're a holder of equity capital, you're not entitled to anything. You're entitled to the residual earnings, and you're not able to contract in such a way to protect your rights the way other folks would. And that's why we have the so-called corporate law overlay that assigns fiduciary duties to directors and officers of companies, and et cetera. But when it comes to public companies, by and large, the traditional substantive law was basically the same as it was for private companies or any other smaller business. And basically a state law question, with the caveat that in the Depression, with the 1933 and 1934 Acts, the Securities Act of 1933, the Securities Exchange Act of 34, you've had a significant federal overlay with securities regulation, and that largely is the sort of disclosure regime for public companies. And there's a reason why. If you have your sort of small mom-and-pop investors out there, you'd want to protect them with some sort of disclosure regime, et cetera,
But those laws, if I remember correctly, Jim, were more for the formation of capital, not so much for the management of the corporation.
You're absolutely right. They're really for the rules and what companies have to disclose, but they aren't substantive rules telling companies what to do.
It was protect people from getting their money taken by shysters who were forming companies that weren't real. But now there's the more the issue seems to be in the corporate governance, the operation of the company, and that sort of thing, right?
That's exactly right. Up until recently, this has been governed by state law. Delaware is by far the leading state in this area. It used to be New Jersey about 100 years ago, and then Woodrow Wilson, when he was governor, started doing lots of antitrust-related activity and other sort of progressive agenda things through the corporate law there in New Jersey, and the company said, well, we're going to shift to Delaware. And it's always been a sort of debate in the academic literature, is that a good or a bad thing? I tend to think it's actually a good thing. By the judge I clerked for, who taught me corporate law and securities law, Ralph Winter, wrote sort of a seminal article in the 1970s saying this is a race to the top. And it's a race to the top precisely because if you're an equity holder and your rights are getting gutted by some state law, you're going to demand a premium to compensate you for that bad corporate governance regime. Mm-hmm. And so we sort of had this what's called competitive federalism going on, where states compete for companies. Delaware, by and large, is the state where most big companies are incorporated. That all changed in the last decade, and you first had the Sarbanes-Oxley Act of 2002 after the Enron scandal, and then you had, in 2010, just last year, the Dodd-Frank Act.
One of the most ironically titled laws of all time, the Dodd-Frank bill, right?
Well, ironic in what sense?
Dodd and Frank.
The full name of the bill is something like
the
Reform and Consumer Protection.
It's
Act
called the Dodd-Frank bill, and it's named after two of the people who contributed more as members of Congress to 2008 as anybody did, and then the law to fix that is named after them. I mean, that's as ironic. That's irony you can cut with a knife.
Ironic in that
Hold on to that thought. We'll come right back and talk about what's the new way that corporate governance is going to be is setting up right now based on other influences. Stay with us.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.